even though, you know, we look back on it on Christmas Day as such a beautiful, glorious, wonderful day, what was really going on at the time was the world was a mess. It was just awful. Everybody was sad. When you read authors who wrote it at the time, they used words like gloom and anguish and despair and despondency. It was horrible. Rome was in charge. King Herod was ruling Jerusalem, and King Herod was from like some other dynasty, whereas Jerusalem was a Davidic society. So there were soldiers in the streets, and there was a lot of violence and just upheaval, right? So around this time, there was a young girl in Nazareth, Mary, and she was just a young girl, like 15 or 16 years old. And so her dad said, okay, it's time for you to get married, and he made an arranged marriage with this older man, Joseph. So Joseph was like 30, which in those days, that was an old man. And it's like, okay, Joseph, why haven't you been married before? He doesn't have any kids or anything. Is this really a good match for young little Mary? And really, I think the reason Joseph wasn't married before was because he was a very expert carpenter. And so he spent all of his time and money doing apprenticeships. So he was a working guy. And he didn't have time to look for a wife. And by the time he was done with his apprenticeship, he's poor because he hasn't been making any money. He's been an apprentice. And it was hard to marry him off. So Mary gets this guy, right? So they're engaged, and then they find out Mary's pregnant. And he's like, what? How did this happen, you know? It's like, I don't know. So he was kind of making plans behind the scene, like, how am I going to get out of this arrangement, you know, marrying this pregnant girl, the baby's not mine, how am I going to get out of this? But, sorry. One night, he has a dream. An angel comes to him and says, Joseph, don't be afraid to marry Mary, because she is carrying the Son of God. And you are going to name this baby Jesus, and he is going to save the world. So he took that to heart, and he's like, wow, this is a big deal. Okay, I'm stepping up, and I'm going to be foster father to this child, and I'm going to marry this young pregnant girl. So about the same time, Mary's all confused. I don't know what's going on. How come I'm pregnant? An angel comes to her and says, Mary, don't be afraid. This child you're carrying is the Son of God. You're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to save the world. This is exactly what we need right now. You are the special one, that we have chosen you to be the mother of this baby. So she's still a little skeptical. She's like, how do I know that this is the truth? And the angel Gabriel said, okay, well, Mary, your sister, I think it was Esther or Elizabeth something, your cousin, and this, her cousin was much older, is also going to be pregnant. And your cousin is going to have a baby boy, and these guys are going to be great friends. And she said, there's no way, because Esther's been like trying to get pregnant all this time, and she's too old to get pregnant now, so she's not going to get pregnant. So she went to her cousin and said, cousin, what's the scoop? And she said, yeah, I'm pregnant. I'm going to have a baby, you know? So Mary was like really relieved. Okay, this is good. This is good. Okay, I can handle this. So, of course, this young couple is kind of stressed out because this baby's coming and everything. To make matters worse, King Herod does this command. Everybody is required to register now for taxes. So they're poor enough, now they know they have to pay taxes. Not only do they have to pay taxes, but it's mandatory that they go to Jerusalem to register, because because everybody had to go to not the city where they lived, but the city where they were born or something. So they had to make a trip of 100 miles to go to Jerusalem, Bethlehem, where they were going to register. So they took everything in the Bible takes 3 days, right? So it took 3 days. They're riding on the donkey. It's an arduous trip. She's pregnant. Oh, you can just imagine the complaining that's going on, but they're doing it because they have to. They have to. By the time they get to Bethlehem, Mary's like ready to pop. She's like so ready to give birth. And they're looking around for a place to stay. And of course, since everybody's in town trying to register for taxes, there's no place to stay. And it wasn't like hotels like now where you can make a reservation and all that. It's just like you show up and do you have a room, a guest room, this is what I can pay or whatever. It's just people's houses. But the way houses were designed back then is really interesting. Is all houses were like on two levels, right? So the top level was where the family slept, and then the bottom level was open air, and that was like the stable where the animals lived, and then the family could work there during the day. But the reason they did that, and it was kind of smart, is because the heat from underneath with the animals kept the upstairs warm. So when the family slept, it was warm upstairs. So I guess they got to one place and they said, we don't have any rooms, but if you want to sleep downstairs with the animals, go ahead. So that's what they did, is they went downstairs and made beds out of hay, and Mary went into labor, and of course they didn't have any crib, just like the song say, no crib for a bed. They used a manger, which was an animal trough, to put the baby in. So they put hay in the animal trough, laid the baby there. So about this time, this glorious star appears in the sky, and three wise men, or magi, and they were from the East. They were astronomers and astrologers, very educated men. Some say they were kings even, because the kings were so wise. They saw this star in the sky and they go, oh, what's up? Something's going on. This is a change. The star has never been here before. Let's go follow that star and find out what's going on. And then an angel came to them and said, oh, this is the birth of the King of Kings, the King of Jews. He's going to save the world. And they're like, we're going, and we're bringing presents. We're going. So they got as far as Jerusalem, and they started asking around, we're looking for this baby that was born. He's the King of Kings, the King of Jews. Do you guys know where he is? Have you heard anything? Whatever. So word gets out that they're asking about him, right? And King Herod goes, wait a second. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the King of the Jews. Who is this baby that's born? And he starts getting really jealous and everything, right? So he calls for the wise men and says, look, you guys, when you find this King of the Kings, why don't you tell me where he is so that I can go and worship him too? And like, okay, cool, we'll do that. So finally somebody in the town had heard about the birth, and they said, you have to go to Bethlehem, and there you're going to find Mary and the baby. So they made their way to Bethlehem. And here they are in the manger. And by the way, the stable represents, like metaphysically, our connection with the earth. And it represents the limitless possibilities we have to us, because it's open air, right? No walls. So the kings brought with them gold, just like we heard in the song, right? Gold for two reasons. One, because it's associated with kings, and they wanted to recognize him as a king. And also because it's a symbol of love, because wedding rings are typically gold, and they wanted to show him love. They brought him frankincense, which is used in church ceremonies quite often. And I brought some frankincense today, so afterwards, if you want to come smell frankincense, I'll have them at the book table. It smells very Christmassy. And that said to him that we understand you are divine, right? So they're showing that he's divine. And then they brought myrrh, which is a resin that is used in a lot of medicines and perfumes and things like that. So in that way, they're showing that we're here to serve you. We're here to follow you and your teachings. So they did that. And then an angel came to them and said, who are you guys? Don't tell King Herod where this baby is, because he's up to no good. So they're like, okay. And they left and they went a different direction, so they didn't have to go by Herod, and they just kind of got out of there. And then when Herod found out what they did, that he got like double crossed, he said, okay, kill every newborn baby boy around here, because I'm the king and everybody's got to know that. So when Mary and Joseph got wind of that plan, they took the baby and they went to Egypt to hide out for a while so that the baby could be safe. They wanted to protect him. So they stayed there for, I don't know, 4 years or so before King Herod finally died, and then they were able to come back to Nazareth, where Joseph lived and worked and everything. So that's kind of his story. But then, the other thing is that by naming the baby Jesus, that was a big break with tradition at that time, because typically babies were always named after their father. So he would have been like Joe Jr., but no, he is named Jesus. So that's another symbolism that this was a new beginning. This was something really special. We have a new star, a new name, a new little baby, and here he was going to save the world. We didn't know how yet, but we knew he was. Okay. So, flashback, 3,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. And there's a story of another little baby that was born, okay? So, I want to get these names right? So, I'm going to look, okay. So, at this time, it was also dire times. The world was a mess, and Mother Earth prayed to Lord Brahma. Brahma was the creator, to take away her misery, to get her out of this jam, because people were just a mess.